Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Many responses over the past several years to climate change and sustainability. In Studio C, at our studios here today on Access Utah, we're going to present a very interesting collaboration in response to climate change. A collaboration between visual artists, a composer, a string quartet, and a physicist. It's called the Crossroads Project. We'll hear music composed specially for this project by composer Lara Kaminsky, Rising Tide. We'll hear other music and talk with Robert Davies, physicist with the Utah Climate Center. We'll hear music performed by the Fry Street Quartet. And we'll talk about climate change and collaboration between science and the arts. The program follows the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. President Obama is calling on the world to move past extremist violence. He tells the UN General Assembly the world has seen nonviolence work better and faster in the Mideast than violent action.
In less than 2 years, we have seen largely peaceful protests bring more change to Muslim-majority countries than a decade of violence. And extremists understand this. Because they have nothing to offer to improve the lives of people, violence is their only way to stay relevant. They don't build, they only destroy. It is time to leave the call of violence and the politics of division behind.
Mr. Obama tells those protesting against a video made in the U.S. that defames Islam that he deplores the video too, but that the U.S. will not censor offensive speech about Islam, Christianity, or any other religion. He says that unlike in many countries, political figures aren't immune from criticism in the U.S. either.
As president of our country and commander-in-chief of our military, I accept that people are going to call me awful things every day. And I will always defend their right to do so.
He says there's no justification for violence in response to speech. Four Americans, including an ambassador, were killed in Libya, along with 50 others, in violence initially sparked by reaction to the video. Earlier today, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said a two-state solution is the only one for Israel and Palestinians. But he says there's a building problem.
The continued growth of Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territory seriously undermines efforts toward peace. We must break this dangerous impasse.
And Bond says he's disturbed by increasing war talk in the Mideast. Iran says it has tested anti-ship missiles in the Strait of Hormuz, bringing down a large target. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Istanbul that the claims come as the U.S. leads a large naval exercise in the Persian Gulf.
The semi-official Fars news agency quotes Revolutionary Guard Rear Admiral Ali Fadavi as saying four missiles were launched at a target the size of a warship and that the target sank in less than a minute. Iranian claims of military prowess are a regular event, and there was no immediate independent confirmation of this claim. But it does come during large minesweeping exercises being hosted by the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet in the Persian Gulf. The ships in that exercise are not entering the volatile Strait of Hormuz, which Iran has threatened to close should its nuclear facilities come under attack. Iran is reportedly planning its own naval drills for the strait, through which 20% of the world's petroleum supply passes. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
Stocks are up this morning on improved consumer confidence and higher home prices. The Dow Industrials up 49 points at last check. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from America's Natural Gas Alliance, representing the natural gas industry and supporting nearly 3 million jobs across the country. ANGA.US.
With Utah News this hour, I'm Carrie Bringhurst. Unemployed Utah workers who have exhausted their 14 weeks of federal benefits can now apply for another 14 weeks, a result of the state's average unemployment rate being at least 6% for 3 months. Bill Starks is unemployment insurance director for the Utah Department of Workforce Services. He says those additional benefits were suspended back in June when the unemployment rate dropped, but now they're being reassigned.
What we're finding is there is about 200 individuals in Utah that are exhausting their benefits every week. So what this will do is approximately 200 people per week that normally would have exhausted their benefits would now be eligible for up to an additional 14 weeks of benefits.
There is a catch. Stark says additional federal benefits will expire at the end of the year without an act of Congress.
Under the current regulations, the program ends at the end of the year, so there is no phase out. So even if you just triggered on to a tier of benefits without an act of Congress, they all end at the end of the year.
Utah offers 26 weeks of state unemployment insurance benefits. Those take effect before the federal benefits. A mining company is asserting its rights to several land parcels in the mountains above Salt Lake City. The Great Western Mining Company has sued in court, challenging the city's claim to the land. The company claims ownership of the properties under a century-old mining claim, while city officials contend Salt Lake City has held title since 1908. That's Utah News for this hour. I'm Carrie Bringhurst for Utah Public Radio.
Support for Access Utah comes from Crum Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Now open Monday through Saturday until 2, offering a changing menu of a specialty salad, French breakfast pastries with local seasonal fruits, and lunch sandwiches.
Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We are in Studio C today. That's our performance space. We're with the Fry Street Quartet and with Robert Davies, physicist with the Utah Climate Center. A very unusual collaboration, interesting collaboration between science and the arts. The Crossroads Project is what it's called. A response to sustainability and climate change challenges. We're going to hear some music. We're going to talk climate change. And if you'd like to participate in the program, you're welcome to do so by email today. At upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com. We welcome in Robert Davies, physicist with the Utah Climate Center. Welcome.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having us.
And we also have with us, as I mentioned, the members of the Fry Street Quartet. This is their 10th season as a quartet in residence at Utah State University. Robert Waters on the violin. Welcome.
Great to be here, Tom. Thank you.
We welcome in Rebecca McFall, who's also on the violin.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Francis on the cello.
Good morning, Tom.
And our violist, Brad Otteson.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, Robert Davies, let's start with you. I understand this this initiated, I think, with you, and you're talking with the Fry Street Quartet. You, of course, are very interested in issues regarding sustainability and climate change as a physicist and with Utah Climate Center. And what did you want to accomplish by bringing in the arts?
Well, great question. I had been aware of the quartet for some time, just enjoying their concerts and fabulous concerts, and at the same time had been, working in public communication of the science of climate change. With the art, of course, what science brings to it is the information, and this topic is starting to need, or has needed for some time now, a communication that we can connect with a bit more, a more visceral communication. And of course, this is what art does for us in its many forms, just fabulously, is help us connect with information and how we're processing it. In the process of my talks and my interactions with the public, I felt like many of us are understanding and getting the information, so to speak, intellectually, but not viscerally. And I just, drawing on my own experiences, when I'm listening to the quartet and to chamber music live in particular, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if we presented some very compelling information to an audience, sort of pushed out all the other themes in their minds, and then unleashed this music on it and see where that takes them with the information on a more visceral level.
So visceral is the word you're using. And that would get us to urgency. And I take it you feel that this needs more urgency in the minds of a lot of people.
I think it needs certainly that is true. And I don't mean visceral in the sense of urgency. I just mean it that we want it. We need to feel it. And employing from my world, the world of science, the science of psychology actually tells us quite a bit about how it is we people respond to information and what it takes for us to actually move and act on information. And we need to feel it. We're evolutionarily evolved to react really well to a tiger right in front of us. But to risks and threats that we perceive to be to other people in faraway places a long time from now, we're not as good at responding to those threats, even though they may be every bit as big. So this is trying to just make it more real, help people understand how this touches people right here, right in front of us, not just in faraway places a long time from now.
Because that does bring up an issue, which is on a kind of a intellectual level, we understand that climate change is happening, sustainability is an issue, but maybe it is more of a problem for somebody out there somewhere.
That I think for those of us who have, you know, certainly living in Logan and Cache Valley, we have wonderful lives. We have food, we have homes, we have a wonderful safe community, nice leisure, a beautiful place to live. And it just doesn't always seem like there are these enormous risks looming, but they are there. And the beautiful thing about science is, you know, enables us to identify that they are there, but we're fighting evolution to actually respond to it when we're not feeling it in our everyday lives. So the performance, which we'll get to in a minute, I think, really the idea is to help people see through some very compelling information, some compelling imagery, and then unleashing this really powerful music on it to really feel that, yes, you know, it seems like things are chugging along just fine, but in fact we're facing some enormous challenges that we need to get busy on.
Let me ask anybody in the quartet who'd like to jump in here. Your part in this, and Rob has mentioned the fact that this is visceral. Of course, music can be intellectual. It can also be very, very visceral. What do you hope the audience gains from this?
I think we're just excited about bringing a new piece of music to life that's in response to the components of the performance that Rob has outlined. And it's also exciting to offer artistic responses to these issues, which allow us to feel these issues in a different way, but also just reflect on them through a different lens. I think this issue sometimes, well, has become quite politicized, and it can color the way that we actually think about these things. And art, I think, offers a way for us all to come together and have our own experience with how we take this information in.
Let's hear some music. First, tell us what the piece is, what we're going to be hearing.
Well, the quartet is entitled Rising Tide. This is a piece that we commissioned from a New York composer, Laura Kaminsky. We will begin with the first movement of the quartet. This movement is entitled Source of Life. This is the movement that is in response to the idea and issues around water.
Here's the Fry Street Quartet with the first movement from Laura Kaminsky's Rising Tide.
Thank you.
If you just joined us, you probably wondered if you were listening to Access Utah. You definitely are, Tom Williams, with you. We have a treat today in Studio C here, our performance space. We're hearing music performed by the Frye Street Quartet, Quartet in Residence at Utah State University. They're in an interesting collaboration between the arts and science, a response to sustainability and climate change issues. And we have with us Robert Waters on the violin, Rebecca McFall violin, and Francis on the cello, Brad Otteson on the viola. And also with us in studio is Robert Davies, physicist with the Utah Climate Center. The project is the Crossroads Project. And Rob Davies also includes, I understand, some visual artists. You can tell us a little bit about that.
It does. It some wonderful visual artists. Part of the collaboration, again, as Rebecca said, is this artistic response to this particular topic. So when the quartet contacted Laura Kaminsky, the composer, her partner, Rebecca Allen, is a painter and was also very interested, and quite a well-known environmental painter, was also interested in contributing to the project, and was her interest was piqued by it, and so she has contributed some original paintings and also a larger collection of her existing work that was shipped out to us and is now on display in the Tibbetts Gallery, along with works by photographer Garth Lenz, again quite well known and renowned in, environmental photographer. His works are also on display in the Tibbetts Gallery. It's a joint exhibit with Rebecca Allen. And he documents the Canadian tar sands and the Canadian boreal forests out of which these tar sands are carved. And he's got these enormous photographs that just are ones, you know, just beautiful and also rather terrifying of this enormous industrial project up there. And so these are on display. We also use some of this imagery in the performance itself. Not along with the music, but some of it along with the information that I present before the music and in the lead up to the music. And then finally, renowned Utah sculptor Lyman Whitaker, who, from Springdale, has also wanted to contribute to this project and developed a collection of his kinetic wind sculptures. They've been installed in the promenade outside the performance hall here on USU. They're getting enormously positive response. And all of these artists will be here for the performance this week as well.
Should mention the performance. The main performance of the Crossroads Project is Thursday evening at 7 o'clock in the performance hall on the Utah State University campus. It'll be 90 minutes straight through, no intermission, but there'll be an aftermission, is what you're calling it, with everybody involved able to talk with the audience.
Yes, that's right. So the it's an aftermission, also an artist reception. We have this fabulous joint exhibit in the Tippetts, and the nature of this performance is not a typical performance. So you're being presented with some pretty compelling information and imagery, and then this powerful music. We've done some nascent versions of this performance, and the reactions among the audience have been pretty powerful. And so we thought it might be nice to provide a space, a forum for an audience to, you know, not just hop in their cars and go home with this information and experience just sitting in them. Some people may want to talk a bit to the artists, to the performers, the quartet and myself. So we've got this lovely space in the Tippetts Gallery. After the performance, the audience can come over there, look at the exhibit, and just share what they felt the experience was.
We are going to take a short break. We'll be back on Access Utah following this break with Fry Street Quartet and Rob Davies, a physicist with the Utah Climate Center.
Support for Access Utah comes from the Utah Humanities Council, enriching cultural, intellectual, and civic life by providing opportunities for all Utahns to explore life's most engaging questions and the wonders of the human experience.
Utah Public Radio has a network of news correspondents that covers the state and the issues that matter to Utah. I'm Jennifer Pemberton, online news editor for UPR.org, and I love bringing our news stories to life on the web with pictures and video, in addition to familiar voices and engaging print. From the national parks of southern Utah to the streets of downtown Salt Lake, we cover all the great outdoors and the communities in between with all the technology available to us. That's what makes UPR your favorite public radio station for engaging all your senses in the stories of Utah.
Support for Utah Public Radio is provided by USU's Anthropology Museum in Old Main. It's free Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays 10 to 4. This Saturday, learn about primates and anthropology from USU Professor Andrea Berkby.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. It's an unusual program today, previewing an unusual project, the Crossroads Project, which is a collaboration between visual artists, science, and musical arts. We have with us in studio the Fry Street Quartet, Utah State University's quartet in residence, and Rob Davies, who is a physicist with the Utah Climate Center. We're talking about climate change and sustainability. The Crossroads Project is responding to this in a very interesting way with music, especially composed for this, visual arts, and a scientific lecture given by Rob Davies. There will be a performance of the Crossroads Project, if performance is the right word, I guess it is, at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening, at the Performance Hall in the USU campus, and there will be an artist reception and an aftermission. You can meet everyone involved after the performance. 7 o'clock, the Performance Hall. Should mention that there will be 5 colloquia, the first of which is tomorrow evening, Wednesday evening, with, remind me who that will be with?
So this is Garth Lenz. It's actually a third in our in our series. So each Wednesday for 5 weeks, starting 2 weeks ago, colloquia in the Tippetts Gallery, 7:30 p.m. And Garth is the photographer collaborating on this project. He, you know, I called him up actually just to see if I could get permission to use some of his imagery in the performance. And turns out Garth is a musician, quite a fairly accomplished pianist, and was very interested in the project. And in addition to allowing us to use his imagery, wanted to bring his show here. And Garth also has a quite a compelling TED Talk for those of in the audience who've watched these, you know, 15-20 minute fabulous talks that you can watch on the internet. Garth's talk is called "The True Cost of Oil," and it explores the Canadian tar sands and the boreal forests and the impacts on the populations there. He'll be presenting his talk, The True Cost of Oil, in the Tibbetts Gallery tomorrow, 7:30 p.m.
And there'll be a panel discussion with everyone involved. That, I believe, is tomorrow. Tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 at the Tibbetts Gallery. All those options for you if you're going to be in the northern Utah area on the Utah State University campus tomorrow. And, of course, the main performance Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Rob Davis, before we hear some more music, I'd like maybe to get you on your soapbox here. You're aware that not everyone is agreeing that we have an urgent crisis. Here's what, I don't know if you wrote this or someone else. This is from the Crossroads Project of Materials. At the dawn of the 21st century, humanity has arrived at an extraordinary crossroads, a time and place where the scientific ability to identify unprecedented risk to the natural systems that support us intersects a societal inability to respond.
Yes, I did write that, actually. And I should say that I think this is really one of the strengths of this project is that is not, in fact, my opinion. That is the opinion of the scientific community, a vast majority of the scientific community, as reflected in statements to that effect from the National Academies of Science, American Geophysical Union, American Meteorological Society, American Association for the Advancement of Science, American Physical Society, and the list goes on and on. So the idea is that with this project is we are indeed invoking a visceral response, an emotional response, but this is a response that is based on not a selective cherry-picking of information, but a broad viewing of all of it. And so this is what science is telling us. So it's not just my opinion, and it's not even though it can seem that way. You use language like unprecedented risk, but that is in fact the language that the scientific community is using.
Maybe outline in brief the parameters of what worst case, best case. What can we expect? The title of the piece that we're hearing is Rising Tide. That's the one thing we hear about as a danger.
Well, it's a lovely double entendre, right? The rising tide is certainly as climate is warming and the sea levels are going up, but in addition, there is a response being invoked in our society right now. It seems like things are not happening, but certainly at the international and national scale, that we see gridlock, we hear about gridlock. But what you actually have at the local level and the regional level is an awful lot of innovation and an awful lot of response to this. And these local projects and local endeavors are beginning to grow and to overlap and to reinforce one another. So in that sense, also a rising tide of response. The soapbox here is that certainly the major pieces of our society are simply not sustainable. Our food system, our energy system, our economic system. We are over-consuming right now on the world at about 140%. And economists would call this living off the capital. It can't continue. But with climate change, it puts a rather short window on the time we have to respond. Certainly our projections are imperfect, but not knowing everything is not the same as not knowing anything. And if anything, this phenomenon is progressing faster than the science has projected that it would. And let me just give you one example. The polar ice cap has been on a steady decline for the last 30 years. Each year it melts back during the Arctic summer, and it's been melting back further and further. This year, in 2007, it underwent something of a real collapse, a significant drop. This year it's done that again. And so whereas 7 or 8 years ago the projections were maybe for an ice-free Arctic by the year 2100, one of the leading polar scientists this year is now projecting that the Arctic will be ice-free for some of the summer 4 years from now, 2016. So things are progressing quite rapidly, and climate change puts a rather short window on the time we have to respond.
Let me talk to a member of the quartet who'd like to jump in. This is an interesting spot for a string quartet. And it sounds like something you thrust yourselves into. I don't know, Rebecca, you'd like to comment on that.
Sure. Well, this is something that I've been concerned about for a long time and paying attention to for a long time, actually all the way back since college, really. And it actually feels really good, I think, to all of us in the quartet to sort of press the arts into service a little bit on this huge issue that affects us all.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about performances. What has been audience reaction to the performance of Crossroads Project? And I don't know if you performed the Kaminsky piece yet.
This will be the premiere of the Kaminsky on Thursday evening. But we have, as Rob mentioned, done some nascent versions of this project with other music. And we've done it twice now here in Logan, once for the Bioneers Conference back last fall, once this spring for Research Week here on campus. But perhaps the performance that sticks out the most in our minds is the performance we did in Brazil in January. They have a great interest there. We have taught for the last 3 years at a music festival in Curitiba, which incidentally, and Rob maybe might have to correct my exact facts about this, but it's one of the greenest cities in the world, and it's really done some quite impressive things with their initiatives there. And so this was something that was of great interest to them, and I would say that the audience reaction was really exactly what we were hoping for. It got people feeling and thinking about this in a way that I don't think a lot of them maybe had before that. Emphasis on the feeling part, you know, and just as Rob described so beautifully, what we want to accomplish with this is to drive it home in a way that is visceral and that is personal and that touches people beyond the statistics, although those statistics are extremely important and they are a big part of our project. But I think, as Becky also described so in such a lovely way, you know, that what we do is we touch people, at least when we're doing our jobs right. Anyhow, so it, in general, the audience response has been really fantastic, and we're looking forward to having the expanded version take place here sort of on our home turf. We have such an incredible array of artists involved and scientists, and so we're really, really excited to see the community response.
The Crossroads Project and the premiere of Laura Kaminsky's piece Rising Tide will be Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, USU Performance Hall. And everyone is invited, of course. Tell us a little bit about the next piece of music we're going to hear.
We thought we'd just share a little fragment of the second movement, which is entitled Bios, or Life. And in this movement, we're going to show one of the climaxes to the movement. We can't give away everything before Thursday. So here's a little example from the second movement.
Just a taste, just a fragment from one of the movements of Laura Kaminsky's Rising Tide. And that'll be premiere. It'll be Thursday evening, the full premiere. You're getting a bit of that on Access Utah today. We're talking with Rob Davies, who's a physicist with the Utah Climate Center and with the Fry Street Quartet, the quartet in residence at Utah State University. They're talking about the project collaboration between science and the arts called the Crossroads Project. It's a response, their response, to sustainability and climate change issues. Rob Davies, when people leave, I guess, on Thursday night or any performance of the Crossroads Project, what do you hope audiences do? What do you hope they feel? What do you hope they do?
You know, that's just a fabulous question, and it's what we've been trying to sculpt the entire experience around. Several things, and I think maybe the quartet may have a few comments on this as well, but I think what we're looking for is that people will go out feeling compelled to, first of all, learn more, and second of all, do more about transforming the way that we do things in our society that is so unsustainable and so presenting such enormous challenges for the generations that are coming down the road. So it's just a way of trying to – I think some people will be haunted. It's not what I would exactly call entertainment, but I think it will be compelling. And we have provided, I should say, we have a website, thecrossroadsproject.org. We certainly can't provide all the information that one needs in a single 90-minute performance. But we've provided, I think, in a very organized way, a lot of information that you can go in, videos and articles and very accessible information on the website that you can begin to educate yourself on all of these sustainability issues and see, in addition, all of the efforts that are going on here in Utah, here in the United States, and around the world. So I think the idea is you want someone to leave and feel compelled to get involved and to become a part of moving this ship in a different direction.
Let me throw out an argument that I hear sometimes, which is, okay, I'm convinced there is something going on with the climate and sustainability issues, but there has to be a tipping point and there have to be enough people making changes for things to change, and I don't see that happening, and so, you know, why should I make those changes in my life?
Well, I would simply say that this is part of the education, and what I mentioned earlier is that it turns out there is just a tremendous amount going on. And social systems are complex physical systems, just like climate systems are. And certainly, just as in the climate system, there are tipping points where it can seem like things aren't changing that quickly. And a nice metaphor for this is an iceberg. You know, they're floating in the ocean. They look serene. But just under the water, there's an awful lot going on, little things happening just beneath the surface. And it doesn't seem like anything's changing with the iceberg. And then all of a sudden, the whole system just flips. It just turns over. That can certainly happen and is happening with the climate system, and it can certainly happen with social systems as well. And what I see in the people who are really paying attention to this is a lot of that going on just underneath the surface, and all of these efforts are beginning to overlap and amplify each other. So even though it seems like things aren't going on, you know, our job, the science tells us we absolutely have the knowledge and technology to move in the directions we need to move in. So I think our job is to do our best to do that. And the very first step to that is to find out what actually is happening. Here in Logan, for example, we have a renewable energy board and an initiative to move us in Logan in that direction. 4 years ago, the city council decided to move away from coal. The local food movement here, which is a big piece of a sustainable agriculture, has just exploded. And that has not just happened here in Cache Valley. 35,000 CSAs, community, I can never remember what that means. Community shared agriculture, thank you, Rebecca, have arisen in just the last 15 years around this country. And we don't see the ones in Madison and Austin and small towns in Iowa and all over. We just see what's here. So it doesn't seem to us that things are happening, but in fact, they really are. And now is the time to make the really big push. And hopefully in the next couple of decades, which is the time frame that climate change imposes upon us, we're going to see that flip of the system. So we just need to keep pushing.
And, of course, there is a sizable number that are saying, well, there is a lot of scientists who have consensus on this issue, but they're wrong. I don't know what you would say to that segment of the population.
Actually, it's quite a small segment of the population. The regular surveys done on this, particularly by George Mason, a collaboration between George Mason and Yale University, they're finding a steadily declining number of people who are dismissive of this topic. A strong majority of the American public believes that sustainability and climate change is a significant issue. So the perception that there is a large segment of people out there who really don't perceive this as a real problem is a mistaken one, based on the data, just based on the science.
Maybe a small but vocal.
A vocal minority. Yeah. And I would simply say this, if you find yourself in that minority, if you find yourself saying, I just don't think this is a problem, I would simply pose the question, based on what? Because a very, very strong scientific consensus says that this is a problem, and we are running huge risks. So, typically, if 98 cardiologists were telling you you needed a bypass or to lower your cholesterol, and two of them weren't, and happened to work for the potato chip industry, you'd probably pay attention to the 98. This is about risk management, and the risks have now become really quite enormous. And when they're this big, we just don't go there. We are a species of can-do creatures, and it's time to invoke that can-doism.
We are spending the hour on Access Utah today with the Fry Street Quartet and with Rob Davies, physicist with the Utah Climate Center. They are talking about their interesting project, the Crossroads Project, a collaboration between science and the arts, a response to climate change and sustainability issues. The Crossroads Project will be premiering a piece by, is it New York composer, Laura Kaminsky, called Rising Tides, and that'll be along, of course, with the talk by Rob Davies and some visual art as well. That'll be Thursday evening, 7 o'clock in the USU Performance Hall. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with some more music from Laura Kaminsky, performed by the Fry Street Quartet, following this.
Support for Access Utah comes from Crum Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Now open Monday through Saturday until 2, offering a changing menu of a specialty salad, French breakfast pastries with local seasonal fruits, and lunch sandwiches.
On the next Putumayo World Music Hour, it's the musical diversity of Spain. From the acoustic pop of Madrid to the flamenco-inspired mestizo music of Barcelona.
Siempre seremos sinceros. Recuerdo bien que lo hablamos.
I'm Rosalie Howarth. Join us for España, the next Putumayo World Music Hour.
Friday night at 10 on Utah Public Radio.
Support for Utah Public Radio is provided by the Beehive Grill, a root beer brewery at 255 South Main in Logan, celebrating Aggie Homecoming Week. Open 7 days a week at 11:30 with liquor, beer, wine, and a diverse menu of burgers, barbecue, seafood, Mexican, vegetarian, and steaks.
Tom Williams with you. It's Access Utah. We're spending the hour listening to some music and some talk, and that's the mix along with visual arts that you'll experience if you go to the Crossroads Project, a collaboration between science and the arts, on the topic of sustainability and climate change, and that is Thursday evening, 7 o'clock on the USU Performance Hall in Logan. There are colloquia going on tomorrow evening. There's one at the, where this be happening?
The Tippetts Gallery, Tom, is Garth Lenz, internationally known environmental photographer, will be giving a colloquium. His talk, The True Cost of Oil, examines the Canadian tar sands and the Canadian boreal forests and the communities that are living there and affected by this operation. And then the following two Wednesdays, two more colloquia, again, 7:30 p.m. in the Tippetts Gallery. The first one, a collection of people here in Cache Valley, in the local food movement. We've got the Lau Family Farms, First Frost Farms, and Appenzell Farm operators will be giving a discussion panel on what it is to actually make a business out of local food and make a go of it. And then the following Wednesday will be Kevin Jensen with Three Men and a Shovel here in Logan, and they're doing sustainable home and yard design. So we'll be talking about, really, the notion is after the performance, and the question is, what do we do? And these two colloquia are intended to address that on a very local level right here in front of us.
And also preceding all of that, tomorrow morning at 11:30 at the Tippetts Gallery, a panel discussion between everybody involved in the Crossroads Project. The Crossroads Project website, again, Rob?
Is www.thecrossroadsproject.org. That's all one word. We've got descriptions of the performance of all of the artists involved, the collaboration. We've got a full schedule of events listed there, including the colloquia, including the art exhibits, and the performance, and also quite an extensive resource page to guide people into learning more.
And this has struck a chord. I believe you've been invited to play a few places, including Spain.
Yes, we've kind of given it this grandiose title, the Crossroads Project. And the thinking behind that was that it does have a life. It's an evolving collaboration between art and science, pressed into service, as Rebecca said, on this topic. We have a performance in October at the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education National Conference at the Los Angeles Convention Center. We have several invitations to other universities around the country later on, and in particular, the one we're really, I think, excited about, well, we're excited about all of them, but is an invitation to perform in Spain at the World Wildlife Congress next fall. And so so this project is evolving. It does have a life beyond this premiere, and we're hoping for an extensive run, I think.
Well, let's hear some more music. Somebody want to set this up?
Yes, the next selection we will hear is the third movement, Forage, which is dedicated to the pursuit of food and the development of food systems, which we use to feed all of us. You can imagine at the beginning animals scurrying about in field and forest to find nourishment, and as it goes, it grows to something much bigger and more majestic.
Here's a movement called Forage. This is from Laura Kaminsky's new work called Rising Tide. Fry Street Quartet performs it for us here in Studio C. Thank you. That's a movement entitled Forage from Laura Kaminsky's new piece called Rising Tide, which was commissioned, I believe, by the Fry Street Quartet. Maybe we could have one of the members of the quartet talk about that process of commissioning a new piece.
Well, commissioning a new piece is always a really exciting and fascinating process. For us, it certainly started particularly with this project in mind, and one of the things that was exciting was the fact that Laura had already written a number of pieces with this topic embedded in her work, and so it was something that we knew that she was quite passionate about. And so we had an opportunity to hear some of her pieces that she had already composed, and were really very excited by the kinds of things that she was creating and the sort of sound world that she had just plucked out of thin air. But the other exciting thing about a commissioning process is that once you make the arrangement and the commissioning, the work goes forward, you have no idea what you're going to get. Mm. And so there's this tremendous anticipation of an excitement, especially for us working with somebody of Laura's level, just wondering what the heck she was going to do with all of this, especially with some of the specific direction that we gave her in terms of the four movements being organized around a specific topic for each movement. And what we got was just an absolute gem. We're just so incredibly excited and thrilled with the piece that she's written. It's just an absolute first-class work in really every regard, both in terms of its craft, but also in terms of its emotional message. It's been thrilling for us.
And we're talking about Laura Kaminsky's new piece, Rising Tide. We've been hearing some music performed by the Fry Street Quartet. The world premiere is Thursday evening at 7 o'clock in the USU Performance Hall in Logan. Perhaps we could fit in one last bit of music. Tell us a bit about what we're going to hear.
We'll hear just a bit of the last movement entitled Societas. As Rob mentioned, looking at our societal systems is a big part of the project. The portion we're going to play for you from this movement, in the words of the composer, she describes them as a scampering dialogue evoking the dizzying complexity and multi-layered nature of human existence.
Here's some music from Laura Kaminsky's new work, Rising Tide, performed by the Fry Street Quartet here in our Studio C.
Thank you.
The Fry Street Quartet, Utah State University's Quartet in Residence, performing music from a new piece, Laura Kaminsky's Rising Tide. We've had the partial world premiere here on Access Utah. Appreciate that. Full world premiere is a part of the Crossroads Project. It's a collaboration between science and the arts and includes not only music that we've just heard today, but talk by Robert Davies, physicist with Utah Climate Center, and visual art as well. That is Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, USU Performance Hall. Our thanks to the Fry Street Quartet for coming in. Thanks so much. Anne Francis on the cello, Rebecca McFall, and Robert Waters on violins, and Brad Otteson on viola. And our thanks to Rob Davies, physicist with Utah Climate Center. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Tom.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks to everyone. Join us again tomorrow. We'll be talking politics, an appropriate topic for this time of year on tomorrow's program. Thanks for listening today to Access Utah.
Thank you for listening to Utah Public Radio. This is KUSR HD1 89.5 Logan, KUSK HD1 88.5 Vernal, KUSL HD1 89.3 Richfield, KUST HD1 88.7 Moab, KUSU FM HD1 91.5 Logan. This is Utah Public Radio, Utah's favorite public radio station.
Thank you for listening to Utah Public Radio. Check out this and other programs and community calendar at upr.org.